like me. Well, let me tell you about a pastor and his wife that decided they were going to have several church members over for dinner. They had decided that, although it was going to be a huge undertaking, they wanted to invite all the couples of the church over for dinner because they wanted to show them an example of hospitality. And so at dinner time, everybody was seated around the tables in their living room, and the pastor's wife asked their four-year-old daughter to ask the blessing on the food. Note to parents, don't do that. Anyway, the little girl says, "But mommy, I don't know what to say." And so the mom says, "Darling, just say what I say." And everybody bows their head, and the little girl begins to pray. "Oh, dear Lord, why am I having all these people over to my house for dinner tonight?" You see, so often in prayer, we just repeat what other people say. And can I tell you, that is not God's design for prayer. Today's message, as I said, will be a little bit unique, to say the least, but we are going to learn and we're going to apply ways that we can build Bethel into a house of prayer. But first, we got to answer a few questions. The first question is this: what is a house of prayer? In Isaiah chapter 56, that's on page 654 in the Bibles in front of you. If you want to follow along, I encourage you to follow along. This is scripture that not many people have heard before. Isaiah chapter 56 in verse 1. Look up at me when you're with me. Okay, let's share it together. In verse 1, "Thus says the Lord." Whenever you hear that, your spiritual antenna need to perk up. "Thus saith the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for my salvation is about to come." How many of you know that Jesus could come any moment? "My salvation is about to come and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, and the Son of Man who lays hold of it, who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and keeps his hand from doing any evil." Then I want you to shuffle on down to verse 6. "Also, the sons of the foreigner." So we're not just talking about the people of Israel here. We're talking about people like me and you. "Also, the sons of the foreigner who join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants." That's me and you. "Everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and holds fast to my covenant, even them I will bring to my holy mountain." That's a reference to heaven. "And make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations." As we consider July 4th, let us become a house of prayer, praying for our nation indeed, but also making it a house of prayer for all nations. "The Lord God who gathers the outcasts of Israel says, yet I will gather to him others besides those who are gathered to him." So as we're looking at that little passage there, I see seven things that a house of prayer is. Before we can do the work of a house of prayer, we must see what a house of prayer already is. Number one, the house of prayer is where God's people do the right thing. Where God's people do the right thing. Keep justice and do righteousness. Do the right thing. Number two, a house of prayer is a place where God's people, listen to me, join in to the work that the Lord is doing in the area, in the church, in the house of prayer. The beginning of verse 6, "The sons of the foreigner will join themselves to the Lord to serve him." But a house of prayer is also a place where God's people love the Lord and desire to serve him. There at the end of verse 6, they love the name of the Lord to be his servants. But a house of prayer is also a place where God's people experience joy. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. Amen. Joy. This is a place where you experience joy. In the beginning of verse 7, the Bible says, even them I will bring to my holy mountain to make them joyful in my house of prayer. Right? And then number 5 says it's a place where offerings and sacrifices are accepted. There in the first part of verse 8, or at the end of verse 7, their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. A house of prayer is also a place where the cast out by society can come in and be loved. If you ever see one of those people come to the church here, one of those that are outcast by society, I pray every one of us run and wrap our arms around that person. Amen. Somebody say amen. But lastly, a house of prayer is also a place where others can be gathered to the church. How many of you know that anybody can be saved by the blood of Jesus? Anybody who will come to Jesus on his terms and repent of their sins can be saved. Anybody. And we need to be about the Lord's business. The Lord God who gathers the outcasts of Israel and will gather to himself others besides those who are gathered to him. So that kind of gives us a little overview of what a house of prayer looks like. But the next question is, what is the danger of Bethel not building ourselves into a house of prayer? Well, I want you to listen to what Jesus said in Luke chapter 19. When Jesus cleansed the temple, everybody remembers that. In verse 45 of Luke chapter 19, the Bible says, then he went to the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in it, saying, it is written, my house is a house of prayer, and you have made it into a den of thieves. And he was teaching daily in the temple, but the chief priests and scribes and leaders of the people sought to destroy him, but they were unable to do anything, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. Now, what do you suppose a den of thieves is? I once went to a prayer conference that was led by Claude King. Claude co-authored the Experiencing God study series with Henry Blackaby. And in that conference, Claude King taught what a den of thieves is. And his reference came from Jeremiah chapter 7. In Jeremiah chapter 7, beginning in the first couple of verses, the Bible says that the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all you of Judah, and who enter in these gates to worship the Lord. And then in verse 9, Jeremiah writes the thoughts of God. He says, will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense to Baal, and walk after the gods of whom you do not know? And then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all of these abominations. Listen to what verse 11 says. Has this house, which is called by my name, do you know that the name Bethel means house of God? Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of thieves in your eyes? Behold, I have seen it, says the Lord. So what is a den of thieves? Well, friend, a den of thieves is basically where a bunch of filthy mouth robbers and murderers and adulterers and idolaters congregate together, and then they walk after the gods of this world. That's what a den of thieves is. You see, the biggest problem that churches face in our day and time is that often members of the church will look just like everybody else. Do you see the problem? If you look like everybody else, why do you have to come to church? They look everybody else, look like everybody else, but then they think that they can just come to church, be delivered by the grace of God, and then go out on Sunday afternoon and be free to go out and do whatever they were doing for the whole entirety of the next week. How many of you know that God has called his people to be separate from the world? He has called his people to be a peculiar people. Special. Different. You see, if you're going to make a difference, we got to be different. Amen? And we certainly cannot be a house of den of thieves. That verse 11 just strikes the core of my heart. Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of thieves? If it has, know this, God says, behold, I have seen it. And I wonder what he thinks of it. What is the danger to becoming a den of thieves? The danger is that Bethel might become an illegitimate church. A church that God can't use. A church where there is no glory for God in his presence. That's the risk. That's the danger. 1 Peter 4:17, the Bible says, for the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. This is where it starts. We can't be pointing fingers out there. Sinner's going to sin, amen? So God's going to look within the body first. He's going to look within the church. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 3, the Bible says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And I don't want to be there. That's the danger, becoming an illegitimate church. So, that being the case, I don't want us to be a den of thieves. How can we build Bethel into a house of prayer? How can we become a house of prayer? Well, I want to share with you a familiar passage of scripture in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 29, beginning in verse 11, where the Bible says, for I know the plans that I have for you, plans for peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. But then here comes the juicy part. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and you'll find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord. Go and pray. So how can we become a house of prayer? I want to give you three things that are going to be up on the screen just back to back. Here they come. To become a house of prayer, Bethel must first get right with God, if we're not, and rekindle that first love that we had with the Lord Jesus Christ. Get right and rekindle that love we had. Secondly, we must experience an ongoing, daily, personal love relationship with God Almighty. Ongoing and daily. And thirdly, we must make prayer, friend. Make prayer the first priority of our lives in every aspect of the church, in every activity we do. Prayer must be the foundation. If we don't do those three things, Bethel will never be the house of prayer that God desires it to be. Now today, I want this message to kind of come alive right before you. Today, we're going to have a focused time of corporate prayer. Many people will pray today for the various ministries within our church. But what we're going to do is I want to first introduce you to a model of prayer, a way to model your prayers using one word. And that word is the word ACTS. A-C-T-S. Many of you have heard me say this. You've heard me preach this. I know the children have because we just got finished with it. You remember that, Rhett? ACTS. Using ACTS, we're going to see this model of prayer. And using that, we're going to see how Bethel might become the house of prayer that God wants us to be. The A in ACTS stands for adore God. Let all your prayers begin by telling God how amazing he is, how much you love him, how much you adore him. In Psalm 146, the Bible says, praise the Lord, oh my soul. While I live, I praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God. Do not put your trust in princes. Do not put your trust in men. I will sing praises to my God, in whom there is my help. In his spirit is happiness for the Lord. Happy is he who has God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, the one who made heaven and earth, the one who made the sea and all that's in them, the one who keeps truth forever, gives food to the hungry, executes justice for the oppressed. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. Friend, the Lord shall reign forever. Let your prayers begin by adoring God. Friend, if Jesus Christ walked through those double doors right now, what would be the first thing you do? What would you do, Silas? Is that what you would do? You know what the first thing I'd do? I'd stand to my feet. Once you stand at your feet. With your heads bowed, here's what I want you to do. I want you to just shout out ways to describe God. Loving. Go. Amazing. Holy. Loving. Forgiving. Trustworthy. Omnipotent. Amazing. Come on, y'all. Yes, gracious. Strong. Protector. Faithful. Father. Friend, shepherd, miracle worker, present, yes. Provider, healer, savior, king of kings, lord of lords, redeemer, helper, comforter, Abba, Father. Awesome. You're standing to your feet and the Lord Jesus is walking in. These are the words you're going to be using, my friends. As you stand in amazement with the Lord Jesus walking forward, your jaw's going to drop, and when you pick it up off the floor, you're going to stand amazed in the presence of the Lord. In Psalm 144, we get some more ideas. Blessed is the Lord, my rock. Somebody say amen. My loving kindness, my fortress, my high tower, my deliverer, my shield, and the one in whom I take refuge. Friend, all of those that you quoted were true. Please be seated. Friend, that's what the A in Acts stands for. When you are overwhelmed by the presence of God and you just start speaking those words, speaking those descriptions of God, glorifying him with your words. And can I challenge you that when you're in your secret place of prayer, when you're in your prayer closet or wherever it is that you do that, speak out loud. Because if you're anything like me, when I go to praying with my thoughts, man, I'll veer off into the grocery list in no time flat. Amen? But if I speak it out loud and I'm actually listening to what I'm saying, my prayer life changes. Speak it out loud. The C in Acts stands for confess. Can I just invite you to hear what Psalm 139 says about God? O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and ahead. You lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in the grave, you're there. If I take wings in the morning and dwell to the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand is there to lead me. And your right hand will hold me. In my study of Ezekiel, I'll never forget a statement that God asked the prophet. He said, is it a trivial thing for God's people to commit the sins that they commit here? The sea in Acts identifies a very important part of our prayer. I mentioned it last week that we got to come clean with God. Speaking not only with sin as a generality, but speaking to our specific sins. Let's come clean with God. He already knows it. He knows my thought afar off. Let me come clean with God. Let me be cleansed from the sin that so easily besets me. If you're able now, bow your head. And I just want you to leave your palms up for a moment. And I want you to listen to Psalm 139, but verse 23. With your palms up and your head bowed, search me, O God. Would you repeat that with me? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there's any wicked way in me. And lead me to the path everlasting. Friend, when you identify the things that are hindering your relationship with God and you're willing to change your mind about those things, turn away from those things so that you can get closer to God, God will always hear you and he will always keep his promise to draw close to you. Adore God. Confess to God. But the T stands for something that's kind of obvious in our prayers. We ought to thank God. Listen to what David said as the temple was being anointed. He actually made it into a song, but I ain't singing for you. Somebody say amen. And it was David's song of thanksgiving. And he said in 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 8, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name and make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing psalms to him, talk of all of his wondrous works, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. In similar fashion to what we did as we described God, I want you to shout out one thing that you're thankful to God for. Say it louder. Food. I'd go right along with that, brother. Way to go, Gavin. Man, Noah. Did you say coffee? That's Chris and Brandy Phillips' one. You can't take that one. Amen. Coffee. I like coffee too. Come on. Forgiveness. Amen. Come on. One at a time. Family. Come on, sister. Have I told y'all about Iris lately? I'm not going to. Anyway, go. Home. Salvation. Church, man. Attaboy. What are you thankful for? Mercy. Say it again. Life. The grocery store. And being able to have enough to go there, right? water, health, forgiveness, compassion. Thank you. Thank you for the day. Today is the day that the Lord has given us. Let us rejoice in it. Come on. What do you think? Loving. Thankful for God's love. That's right. Church family. Marriage. Very good. What else are you thankful for? Thank you. Love y'all. Amen. Getting me up. We talked about that in our life group this morning. We got to say, Lord, you didn't want me up. That means you got a purpose for the day. Show me what it is and use me for your glory. Hey, man, if you do that every day, you've woken up the right way. Good work. That's it. What else? What are you thankful to God for? He loves me. Amen. Light? Light. Why not? Sure. What else y'all thankful for? Say again? The freedom to worship. Not every country does. What are you thankful for? Eternal life. You know, I'm thankful that it's not dependent on me. I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus. What are you thankful for? Anything? The world? Breath, yeah. Remember me telling you about that word Yahweh? Spelled YHWH? Breath. It's the breath of God. Amen. Very good. All right. So now we've adored God, we've confessed to God because he already knows, and we've thanked him. And we've done this out loud so that, not so that God can hear, because he can hear your thoughts, but so that you can hear and you don't sound like a bumbling idiot. Amen? You start talking crazy, you're going to say, man, you sound crazy, right? But if you're speaking like you're speaking to your Father out loud, you're having conversation, right? It's going to make a lot more sense to you, and prayer is going to be a lot more effective for you. The S in Acts stands for a word, supplication. Supplication basically is asking the Lord to supply needs, wherever that may be. Now, what we're going to do, in addition to what we've already done in praying for the needs that God would supply for all those prayer concerns in our community, in our church, we are also going to ask God to supply what is necessary for all the various ministries in our church family today. And I've contacted several people that have been involved in the various ministries, and they are going to pray. Just a brief prayer of gratitude for the different ministries within the church. And I'm going to begin with Miss Stephanie Thomas. And Stephanie is going to pray just a word of thanks or whatever's on her heart, not only for the successes of Vacation Bible School, but also for the CIA ministry, the Christians in Action. Caleb, there you go. Let's pray.
Father, I want to thank you today for all the children and adults that you brought to us for VBS and on Wednesday nights for CIA. May your light continue to shine on them and through them, and use me, Lord, to help bring your children to you. Amen.
Wow. Powerful. Thank you, Stephanie. Appreciate that. The next ministry is actually one of our newer ministries, and it came out of necessity, and that is the Junior Bethel Youth Group, and it's growing, and these will definitely be the newer leaders in the next generation, and Miss Jennifer leads them, and she's going to pray for that ministry.
Let us pray. Lord Father, I just thank you for today, Lord. Thank you for blessing us, Lord. Thank you for just the BYG kids, Lord. We just ask that you continue to bless us, Lord. Continue to bless our class, Lord. Lord, just to give them the confidence, Lord, and just the excitement that they have to become the disciples and the leaders that they are becoming, Lord. Lord, just to continue to humble them to know that it all comes from you, Lord. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, and we just ask that you just use each and every one of us to minister to them, Lord. It's in your name I pray. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. You can just pass that right over to the Kevo. Kevin's going to pray for the Bethel Youth Group. That's all of our teenagers, age, what is it, 7th grade and up? 7th grade and up. How about it, brother? Let's pray.
Lord, where do we start? Lord, your goodness.
Yes.
Lord, all that you've done, Lord, through these children. Lord, just for being with them and giving them the strength, Lord, to stand, Lord, to want to come to church. Lord, the desire that they have for you to want to be here where they could be anywhere else. Mm. And for that, we're grateful. Lord, for all the new folks. Lord, the ones that have been here for a while. Lord, we're grateful.
Yes.
Lord, and we ask that you continue to lead us, guide us, give us the desire, the forgiveness where we failed you. Just thank you. Be with our leaders this morning, Lord. Lord, for the time to come. Lord, to continue to give us the desire to want to teach your word. Lord, we ask that you continue to lead us, to guide us, go before us. And we love you for it. Mm. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. That's a praise right there, man. You start hearing those noises and you, who is that, Hollis? Amen. I'm going to pray here in a moment for our senior saints, but I'm also going to pray over Miss Frances Berryhill and for the nursing home and the homebound residents that we visit and write to. Her class has been so faithful to send cards all the time to the homebound and nursing home residents in our area. Church members are not, and they have actually one of their classes, I think about every month, right, Miss Frances, that y'all do send cards? Every month, and that's just an incredible part. And I just want to thank the Lord for Miss Frances and also for the ministry that she and her class does. Let's pray. Father in heaven, this is an incredible woman right here. Lord, I thank you for her faithfulness through all the decades here at Bethel Baptist Church, the house of God. Lord, and I know her prayers have continually gone before you as she's prayed for every ministry within the church family. But Father, she is also the leader of the recycled teenagers that are so faithful, Lord, to send cards and make visits and calls to those that are in the nursing home and those that are homebound that would love to be here, but through health reasons, they can't be. So Lord, I pray your supernatural anointing and your favor and your blessings on Frances and the whole class that she leads. And Lord, we'll give you praise in advance for what's coming as a result of their efforts in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. We also have some new ministries that have happened on Wednesday that have brought our attendance on Wednesday to be, hey, Hollis, give me a high five. High five. That's what I thought. Anyway. Okay. Brother Chris Phillips and Brandy Phillips are leading our men's Bible study and our women's Bible study. And it has proven to be very, very fruitful. And we're so grateful for y'all's ministry big time. And they're going to pray for each of their ministries as well. Brother Chris.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. Just thank you, Lord, for being able just to come to you in prayer, Lord God. And that you never grow weary of our coming, Lord. Mm. And that you always invite us to come. So, Lord, we thank you for that. We just pray, Lord, over this men's ministry that you've started and that you have blessed so richly. We just pray, Lord God, that you just continue to bless it and fill it, Lord God, that you may equip us as men, Lord God, to become the spiritual leaders that you call us to be, Lord God. That we can go out into this world, Lord, and just spread your word, Lord God, and make disciples, Lord, so that we may be more effective for you, Lord God, and more obedient for you, Lord God, and with the goal of giving you all the glory and honor and praise.
Yes.
So we just thank you, Lord God. We will tell you we love you. For it's in Christ's name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Let's pass it to Brandy. Let's pray.
Dear Lord, our God, we thank you so very much for you, for how good you are to us and how much you richly bless us.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you for this women's ministry, how you have blessed it, the growth that we've grown as a group of women. Lord, you know the trials that this women's group has faced with sickness and passing of loved ones and so many different trials that we've faced, Lord, but you are so faithful.
Mm.
You have richly blessed us, and we are thankful. And, Lord, we pray as we go through the coming months, if it's your will, that you'll continue to help us to grow in number, but, Lord, more importantly, in spirit and in truth, as we've studied in the fruits of the Spirit, Lord, that we're going to take those things and not just read them on paper, Lord, that we're going to use those things to be fruitful for you, that we can grow your kingdom. Lord, help us to be an encouragement to the men's ministry and our husbands that are a part of it. We pray that we will be a support system for the children that are in the youth programs, especially those that are recent converts, Lord. We love you and give you all the glory and praise in your son's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ms. Brandy. Y'all come on in. Our children are going to go, come and sit on the front row. Ms. Janet is going to lead them. Yeah. Hey, Hadley, you're going to want to follow Ms. Janet because we're going to do something special for y'all in a minute, okay? One of the most important ministries in our church is our life groups ministry. It doesn't take away from the importance of any other ministry, but life groups is pretty important. It's where we make those one-on-one connections with children, with adults, with teens, we just count it a high and holy privilege to be a part of that ministry. So Mike Martin is going to pray God's blessings over our life group ministry. Brother, let's pray together.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you thanking you for your mercy and your grace that you give us so often. We're not worthy of it, but yet you still show us your mighty love. You're the only one worthy for our praises. And Father, we ask you to be with our life ministry. Lord, just strengthen the teachers and give them an understanding that the most important is to get on their knees and give you praise and glory.
Yes.
And Father, just reach down deep and ask for your glory to be revealed to their life. And Father, where they can be more enlightening to their studies and Father, bring it to us to where we can understand and walk a stronger walk. Father, we ask you to just be with us, guide and direct us, forgive us where we fail thee, and I pray it in Jesus' glorious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mike. We also want to pray for our Mission Moments partners. Brother Hal Putman is going to pray for them. They may not all come to church, but they always acknowledge your gifts. They always acknowledge your generosity. And they serve some of the people that need help the most. So we're thankful to be a part of those ministries. And Brother House is going to give God some glory for that. Amen. Let's pray.
God, we thank you for the faithfulness of Bethel Baptist Church. And they're willing to give above and beyond the tithe and offerings, Lord. We just thank you for allowing Bethel Baptist Church and allowing our people to be great givers, Lord, and we just praise you for that, Lord. We ask you to be with every ministry in this church, and Lord, the ones we give to and give our monetary values to, we just ask that they use it and that you will be glorified through it all, Lord. Thank you for every ministry of this church and what it's done through the years, and dear God, we just ask you to continue your blessings upon our people. In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Kids, y'all come up here and get a big circle. Let's do a prayer circle. Big oblong circle. Hey, darling. Now, this don't look like no circle I ever seen. There we go. Now we got to stretch it out a little bit. Well, Gwen don't have nobody's hand to hold. You want to hold my hand, darling? You just want to stand there, you can do whatever you want. Okay, hey guys. Oh, there you go. Hold Vivian. There you go. Good job. Okay. Well, hey guys, let me pray for you, okay? Heads bowed, eyes are closed. Let's pray. Dear God, I want to thank you for these children. I can almost picture the children coming to Jesus and him holding them in his arms, blessing them and telling us to be a blessing to them as well. Lord, I pray that we would sow our hearts and our minds and our spirits into these young people. And that, Father, when they grow up, they will do likewise with their children. Father, thank you so much for them being such an important part of our church. Lord, let us always love on them, encourage them, and show them what Jesus looks like. Father, we thank you that you have given them to us and put them in our care. Lord, we're thankful for their parents that are willing to bring them, and Lord, know that they will be loved on in the name of Jesus and they will be taught according to your word. Father, bless these little kids. Lord, give them a great school year and let them be a blessing to you in Jesus' name. And all the kids said, amen. Amen. All right, have a seat right where you were. All right. Y'all, one last prayer that I wanted to offer, and that is just a prayer of gratitude for all the recent decisions that we've had. As you know, on the 16th, we baptized 10, and we're going to be baptizing 3 this afternoon or today. And I just want to thank the Lord for them. I want to thank the Lord for the number of rededications, namely Brett Sweat, Olivia Phillips. Where's Olivia at? There you are. Olivia Phillips and Cooper McGee. Also for Bristol Sweat and Miss Sindel Moss. She rededicated her life, and she's going to be following in believer's baptism again with her husband, Zach. And that's just a great, great thing. But I want to just articulate to the Lord how much I thank him for these that we have seen come to the Lord and been able to baptize in his name. So let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, Father, you have placed all of these in our care to disciple and to minister to and to give them the direction and guidance that you have so faithfully given to us. Lord, I want to say thank you for Cade McGee right now. Lord, I want to say thank you so much for Briar Scott. Lord, for Tamarin Hammond, for Taylor Scott, for Briar Sweat, for Levi Phillips, for Allie Wilkes, for Brody Wigington, for Braylon Smith, for Tucker Clemens, for my brother Zach Moss, and for Lila Nunley today. Lord, I pray that you would bless each and every one of them, whether they have come back to you in a more faithful way to rededicate and redevote their lives to you, or whether they've come to Christ for the first time and are following through in believer's baptism. We give you the praise. We give you the thanks. And now, Lord, help us to realize that the work is just beginning, and that, Lord, it is our job to help them to grow in their faith and disciple them as best as we can with your power, your strength, and your know-how. Father, we're so grateful for these decisions, people that were added to the family of God. I can only begin to imagine the sound of the angels singing praises as each one has come into the family of God. Lord, we praise you likewise and say thank you. And Lord, today, we're also given an invitation to make a decision for you. Father, it very well may be that someone right here, right now, in this place, has realized that it's high time for them to come to faith in Jesus Christ. And so, Father, I pray that as this time of decision begins and this song of worship begins, Father, that each one would look within their heart and they would want to make sure that they have this relationship with God that can only come through faith in Jesus Christ. And Father, we want to exalt you and praise you and worship you for what you might do during this time of decision. Lord, thank you for being in our presence today. Lord, make us into a house of prayer. Lord, build within Bethel Baptist Church a house of prayer. And Lord, the praises and the prayers that we've heard today, let them be an everyday occurrence. Lord, let us see and hear and experience how important becoming a house of prayer is to you. Lord, we certainly want to do everything and all things that we can do to please you and to honor you and to exalt you. Lord, let this be number one. Lord, we love you and we thank you for what you're going to do in this time. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.
All right, let's stand. Let's sing.